commandment from Jesus Christ that we should love one another. We want to continue the part two of this, that we should love one another. At the beginning of the year, we had the messages on, or the series of messages on unity. There will be no unity without love. And it's very, very important that we should all observe this very carefully. God is love. If we are children of God, we must love. There is nothing we can accomplish in our family, in the society, in the church, without love. And I think it's very essential for us to take notice of this. It could be very difficult for us as human beings to do it, but with God, all things are possible, right? What is important is for us to release ourselves, to seek God to help us to love one another. Even as a church, before we can make any stride for the Lord, before we can succeed, before we can be great, we need to love each other. And you know, Apostle Paul, in the Bible passage we just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, place emphasis on the fact that at the end of it all, charity will prevail. Every other thing can fail. You may have any kind of gift. You may be superly gifted by God. But if you don't have love, it's useless. How do you discharge that gift? How do you use that talent without love? So love is very essential. In each department in the church, in each unit in the church, if we don't understand the fact that we have to love each other, we have to be there for each other, we have to help each other, we have to stay with each other. If we don't understand this, we are not going to make it. It's not a course. We cannot succeed. I have a story to read to us in this book that I have in my hand here. The title is In 1 Inch from the Fence, a book that was written by Wes Sliger. I want to read it verbatim, so I want you to listen. I'm reading it directly to you. I have spent long hours in the intensive care waiting room. I don't know how many of us have been to intensive care waiting room. It's a different world. And I want to read what this writer wrote. Watching with anguished people, listening to urgent questions. This person was observing what was going on in this waiting room of intensive care in the hospital. Will my husband make it? Will my child walk again? How do you live without your companion of 30 years? The intensive care waiting room is different from any other place in the world. And the people who wait are different. They cannot do enough for each other. No one is rude. You know, when you are in comfort zone, that is when you don't understand what I'm saying now. But if you have this kind of a challenge, you will grab what I'm saying. You will get the message. The distinctions of race and class melt away. A person is a father first, a black man second. The garbage man loves his wife as much as the university professor loves his. And everyone understands this. Each person pulls for everyone else. In the intensive care waiting room, the world changes. Vanity and pretense vanish. The universe is focused on the doctor's next report. If only it will show improvement. Everyone knows that loving someone else is what life is all about in the intensive care waiting room. And he said, could we learn to love like that if we realize that every day of life is a day in the waiting room? Let's love each other. I want to tell you something very important, that if you want to really, really represent God in this place, you want to be the right ambassador of God on this planet Earth, you have to love. You don't have option. If you are a Christian, if you tell me you are born again and you still hate, then I don't understand the kind of born again you have or you are. Let others see Jesus in us. Action will speak louder than voice. What you do, how you react to people, especially when you are under pressure, how you respond to questions, how you answer questions, how you react to situations, it's very important. We must love each other. And that's what the Bible is teaching us today. And last week, I took you to John chapter 17. I took you to John chapter 17. I finished reading this, so I want to preach. Can I preach? I decided to delay. I don't want anybody to go. 2 o'clock, we have another service, right? We are celebrating life also, right? And so I don't want you to go 1 o'clock. You say, Pastor, you're supposed to close 1 o'clock. I don't want you to be tempted. Oh, let me just go to La Voltera. And then I'll come back 2 o'clock. And then you begin to Jesus. So before you come back 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, we finish service. Then the next is gigi gigi. Evangelist. Gigi. So I don't want you to be tempted. So by the time we finish, so we'll just start the other service. Amen. So in John chapter 17, last week, Jesus Christ, while he was going, while he was summarizing his ministry here on earth, he was giving them what we call the upper room discourse. He was talking to the disciples and talking to others that would believe after them or through them. And it took time in that chapter 17 to explain the importance of love, that how they have to be together. Jesus was talking to them and was laying emphasis, was praying to God that if God can make this one, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as they are one, that if God can just make this one, the instrument of devil, the instrument of Satan against the church is disunity, hatred, lack of love. You know, if we can love each other, if we can stay together, if we can unite together, the kingdom of darkness is in trouble. When a nation comes together and when they unite together to fight a common enemy, they usually prevail. When people come together in a family, when you unite together, husband and wife, you are together in one mind, not doing your thing, let me do my thing, you will prevail. There is no mountain you cannot climb. And devil knows this. That is why there are so many disunity in the families today. Look. No, some will say, I love you, but just, you know, by saying that they cannot go out for each other. When there is a need to be there, they are not there for each other. Devil knows, it's the instrument of devil to make family ununited, to make them not to love each other. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If we love God, you will listen to what I'm saying now, and you make effort. I am not accusing any of you. I'm not saying you don't love each other. Don't say what as pastors saying that is preaching unity, preaching love. These are just basic things in the Bible that we all have to follow. It's applicable to you at home. It's applicable to you in the office. It's applicable to you in the church, in the society. When there is no love, in anywhere there is no love, hatred will prevail. And it's titanic. The end is so close. Destruction will come in. There will be no progress. But if people can love each other, if people can seek out for each other, if this prayer could be answered for us, Jesus prayed here. Say, this word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on this earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And then he begins, if you go to verse 5, say, I pray for them. I pray not for the word, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all my All mine are thine, and thine am I, and I am glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep true thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And he begin to talk, and then if you see, if you look at verse 15, it says, I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I have not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Jesus Christ has given all that we need, all the instrument, all that we need to shine for the glory of God. And now, as God sent Jesus into this world, Jesus sent us also into this world. We have to live in this place. Though this world is been contaminated by sin and by Satan, we cannot say that we have to be taken out of this place to demonstrate the power of God. So Jesus was praying and said that if God can make us to shine and represent him as he represented God here fully, good prayer of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul, in his own book, in that First Corinthians, emphasized on the importance of, if you have the gift, if God has given you anything, emphasize on the fact that for you to prevail on that, you must put love. If you can sing and you don't have love, you are just making noise. If you know how to give gifts to people, even if you can give yourself to people and you don't have love, you are doing it in vain. It's not going to have any effect. And love must go beyond just ordinarily saying it. You must practicalize it. You must be there for me. You must stand out for me. If you love this church, you must stand out for this church. If you love your husband, you must stand out for your husband. You must seek good things of your wife. And these are the practical things that we have to do. 1 John chapter 4. Let's open to 1 John chapter 4. Hello? Okay, are you with me? Am I talking to us? How are you doing there? I can't complain why I'm here now. I cannot complain. We thank God for the opportunity we have to be here in this world at this time. Tell somebody, I am grateful to God because I am alive. Thank you, Jesus. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 John chapter 4. 1 John. I don't know which one I told you before, but I want to read 1 John chapter 4. If you look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Apostle John was talking here. The same John that wrote the John 17, chapter 17 that we read, talking here, said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. So if you love, you are born of God. If you tell me you are born again and you don't love, you are lying. You are a liar. If you say you love somebody and behind you destroy that person, you are a liar. You don't love that person. And God is not in you. But there is opportunity to make a change. If you tell me you love your husband, you say, oh, I love my husband. And then you go behind to do evil against your husband. Where is that love? If you say you love your husband and then you go out with another man to sleep with another man, you're a liar. You don't love him. Because if you love him, you'll be faithful. Either he's there or he's not there. You say you love your wife. Hello? You love your wife and then you go out to sleep with another woman. You're a liar. You don't love your wife. It's a lie. Because you cannot love your body and hate your same body, right? And do you know what that means? If you say, oh, I love my father, and then you fail to follow the instruction of your father, children, listen to me, you don't love him. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. It's hard. And I want to give it to us hard. Let me give it to you raw. You must love. If you don't love, and you tell me you are a Christian, you are not a Christian. Are you listening now? Because by thy fruit you will know them. Let's stop this You know, talk. Some people just talk, and they lack action. Jesus wants you to do it, because who will be justified at the end? The one who does it will be justified at the end, not the speaker, not the preacher. Anybody can preach. Hello? Yeah, you can preach. In fact, I have seen preachers, they read out their sermon. Yet, they read everything out. They read it out. And you all will listen. Say, amen. God bless you, Pastor. So anybody can do that. I can write it and give it to you to read it. But the area that is important is when it has to do with you practicalizing, putting into action all that we are preaching. That is why it's not the speaker or the area that will be justified at the end. The doer of the word will be justified at the end. There will be surprise in heaven. Hello? There will be surprise in heaven, because the first may be the last. My first will not be the last, in Jesus' name. The people you think will make it to hell in heaven may not get there. Because some people, they live double life. Some people, what they do in the open is not what they do in the secret. One day, everything will be brought to light. If you like what I'm telling you, put it aside and be chasing shadows, jumping around. There will be a day, and we come. You know, in our Sunday school today, we're learning some things about Jesus Christ, how people will follow Jesus Christ, how he healed people, and we tell them, don't tell people. And these people, they will be so happy, they'll be telling people. And people will be following Jesus Christ. They'll be following like sound of the sea. They'll be following Jesus Christ, as if they love Jesus Christ. What were they looking for? Miracles, healings. Whereas Jesus didn't want these people to derail him from the truth. The reason why Jesus came is not, he told people, my kingdom is not of this world. Why he came for eternal purpose, eternal life. Which one is important? Temporary or permanent? Do you know that many people today, they seek only the temporary? I want healing. I want this. Either you heal several times. One day, this body will drop dead. Hello? Either you heal it, you put, you know, face up here, face up there. I usually don't go to the dentist. I was telling somebody in the office, my mother lived 90 years. Never in her life visited dentist. All her teeth, complete. The one man said, I should tell him the secret. I said, in my country, we chew stick. I told him that. He told me, okay, praise the Lord. The man told me, I want you to bring the sap, a white man. I said, bring the sap of the sick. It's medicinal. How can your mother live 90 years? Now, you know, because of all this free, we have insurance, and I've been paying insurance for many years. We never visited dentist. And I was talking to my wife. I said, let's go visit dentist. So we went there. They watched this, what that. They said, they're going to do this, going to do that. The one that surprised us yesterday, they said they brought out a payment plan. They said they can change our teeth. That it will look like Hollywood. They brought out a lady. She did face lift on her teeth. The dentist told us that when you smile, the six of your teeth will show. That six will go to do everything. They gave us so many scenarios that at the end of the day, they were talking of thousands. The man said, you have a payment plan. He went in, brother, the time he spent talking to us to convince us was so much. My wife was trying to tell him that, no, listen, we are not going to do this facelift. But this is where I'm going. Either you spend $25,000 on your teeth, or you spend anything on your body, one day, the body will drop. It's temporary. That was why Jesus was laying emphasis on eternal life, on salvation, not on bread and butter, not on on healings or miracles that people were looking for. But whereas people laid emphasis, even up to now, many of us, we lay emphasis on miracles, on healings, on this, on that, whereas we refuse to lay emphasis on our eternal life. Eternal life. And that what matters. Where will you spend your eternity? That what matters. Not all these temporary things. You may not understand me now, because we are so comfortable now. Very comfortable. But I think this kind of sermon, if I can preach this kind of sermon in Haiti, those who survive will listen. What did they do wrong? We said of it here. I don't know, but it happened. People dying in their thousands. And when we are in the comfort zone, some of us, to whom much is given, much is expected. But we don't want to give back to God. You must love somebody. Before it's too late, love your children, love your husband, love your wife. Let's stop this rat race. Some people have no quality times. They don't spend quality time with their partner. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some don't spend quality time with their children. And if you ask them, they will still say, I love you. I love you. If you love me, you will spend time with me. Hello? Help us, God. Help us, God. We want to understand love. And love is practical. You have to put it in action. Let's go to the verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God. Hello? I'm not talking of this so-called love children are saying in the school. There's this kind of love people say in the school, all these teenagers. I love you, I love you. And then next week, I didn't love you again. I didn't love you again. Now, let me ask you, if you love somebody, are you going to tell me don't love that person again? God will continue to love you. I said, greater love had no more than this. For a man to lay down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him will not perish, but have what? God will continue to love you no matter what. If you have a child, and you are just coming from home, I mean from work, and your child is running, and everywhere is covered with human waste, and your child is smelling. If you love your child so much, and that child is running and want to hug you, but as you are trying to move closer, smelling. But now I tell you, even with that, you will do it such that you still show the love, though you don't want to, you don't want to be contaminated. But you still show the love. And you see that you find a way to clean up that child, but you still try to embrace that child in such a way that it's not like you are saying, I don't want to see you because of all that you are smelling and this and that. No matter what you do, listen, no matter how much you are so deep in sin, God still loves you. Amen? God hates the sin in your life, but God loves you. God is love. God is love. I have a story. I think I should give you that story that I have here. Am I too hard this afternoon? I want love to continue. Honeymoon. Husband, take your wife away. Go and spoil her a little. Show her love. Amen? Go to Hawaii. Go to Honolulu. Go to Bahamas. Amen? It's not a sin. Hello? In those days, the way those pastors preached to us in those days, if you are walking near a hotel, you want to be very careful because it's a place of sin, right? Oh, hotel. I saw the pastor in the hotel. Yeah, you can go have some time in hotel with your husband, with your wife. Hello? It's not that one is not a sin. But when you go into a hotel with another woman, or you go into a hotel with another man, when you have already promised one that I will love you until death do us part, then something is wrong. That's what we are talking about. That is no love. You don't love that person. And we have to understand that. Amen? When you destroy your husband outside, you can talk about your husband. Are you listening to me? It's all the negative, all the weakness. Who is here without weakness? Nobody. Even your pastor has his own area of weakness. But ask my wife, you can know. She will know. If everybody is telling you, I'm perfect. Who is perfect except God? Hello? God help us. I want to tell you something again. There was this legendary football coach, very, very superb man, Vince Lombardi. They asked him a question. He said, What it took to make a winning team. What does it take to make a winning team? A team that can win. And look at what he said. He said, there are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but still don't win the game. Why? I know everybody's paying attention, right? Okay. If you are going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. The team making it on the field, if they're going to win, he said, Vince said, this legendary football coach said, if you are going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other to win. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy, saying to himself, if I don't block that man, Paul or James is going to get his legs broken. So I have to block that man. You know, when I first came to this country, I see people running, old men running after ball. I say, what's going on? And they say, football. But they were using their hands. And then somebody will run. They say, it's quarterback. This one will block this person. They will block and they will tackle each other. And the other one will be running with the ball. He'll be running with the ball. Somebody will be, you know, somebody can be running down there and somebody is there. He's pulling somebody not to go there. What is going on? They have to work together. They have to make sure that if I don't block this man, he can break the leg of that person. And if that person's leg is broken, it may be the best for that particular unit. And then the whole team will lose. When the whole team wins, everybody is happy, right? Vince, the legendary coach, was saying this. The difference, now I want to tell you now. He said, I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. The principle. And he said, the difference between mediocrity and greatness in football, Vince said, is the feeling these guys have for each other, caring for each other, looking out for each other is what makes the difference. Very small, but it makes the difference. To make sure that you don't have the injury that will not make you to perform. To make sure that we love each other, we care for each other. In the early church also, each Christian learns to care for others. As we take seriously Jesus' command to love one another, we contribute to winning team. If you take this message today and you embrace it and you work at it and we love each other, we contribute to winning church. Amen? But if you say, Pastor, that's how you used to talk. That man, is this your first time to come in here? That man can talk. His mouth is very sweet. I'm not entertaining you. I'm not talking my mouth sweet. But I'm saying what is written here. If we're going to win, listen, if you are going to win as husband and wife, you must love each other. If you are going to win as a team, you must love each other. If you're in a club, in a society or association, you don't love each other, you will soon scatter. Write it down. The club of evangels, the angels of heaven club. Even if you are angels of heaven club and you don't love each other, very soon, you know where it's going to start? If you are men and women there, where it's going to start? One man will pursue another man's wife. And another woman will pursue another person's husband. That's how the problem will start. If you think it's a joke, small, because there's no love. Everything will scatter. If care is not taken, they will go physical. They will box each other. If you want to win, I want to give you, it's an advice. You have a business. You want to win, right? You have a business. All your employees must care for each other. Do you understand me now? You see one employee that is trying to mess up and cause trouble, fire that person right there. If not, you're going to suffer. Look, it's so important. If you want God around you, around your relationship, around your family, around your business, embrace love, because God is what?
Love.
It's important. Jesus gave it as a command that we should love each other. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hello? If truly God loves us, we need to love one another. Where do you support to demonstrate love? It's in the church. Where we supposed to demonstrate love is in the church. But but that is not the case. And I have seen people think that church is just holy building. Hey, listen, church is not this wall. You are church. I am church. The people, what makes the country? The people, what makes America? The people in America the people in this country make this country great. And I told you the three things they do here, right? You work hard, you sacrifice, and the third one, please. tell me, I told you the three things. Hard work, sacrifice, and what? Commitment. Thank you. Don't forget that. You work hard, you sacrifice, and you are committed. If you are committed, when you focus on doing something, you know why God has to scatter our languages? The people that were building the Tower of Babel, they were committed. They said, we're going to build this tower. We want to make a name. Let's make a name. Let's come and build the tower. We're going to go. We don't need to pray to God. We're going to climb and get to God. And they were determined. And they were building. They were building. And God said, hey, let's go down to these people and scatter their communication. When the communication in the family is scattered, c'est fini, the French will say. It is finished, kaput, German will say. It's kaput, everything. When there is no communication, and that's why in marriage we say communication. Amen. Like the estate people, we say location to win your heart to buy the building or to buy the whatever you want to buy. For marriage, communication. These three things are very important: commitment, hard work, and sacrifice. When you put this together, these three things were put together for this country, and this country is great. You can do the same thing in the church and begin to extend love towards each other. Begin to look out for each other. Look out for my properties. I look out for your properties. When I see you going astray, I tell you, listen to me. It is from love that I preach sin here. From love. I tell you what is wrong is wrong. Sin is not good. Amen? Sin will take you further than you never imagine. It will cost you more than you think it's going to cost you. It will delay you, cost you more time than you think is good. Sometimes you think it's going to be 1 hour. You may be there forever. You may not even come out of it. And that is why sometimes we tell you, we preach to you that it's from love. Which kind of love is it? Do you think God really loves you if you are going astray and he will not tell you? If you have a father and you are going astray, it's not telling you, it's not keep calling you back. And the father keeps telling you, I love you. What kind of love is that? At the end of the day, when you crash, who will take the credit? Satan. So, from love, God will correct us. He will chastise us. He will bring us back. He can use anything to do that. The same thing in the church. Let's love each other. If I'm doing something wrong, call me back. Call me back to senses. If you are doing something wrong, give me the opportunity to correct you. Hello? And don't accuse me when I'm doing that. Don't say, you see, Pastor, now,
He's talking about fornication. He's talking about adultery now. You see that pastor now? He's preaching about me. I am not preaching about you. I am preaching about sin. And if you are doing it, quit. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. The love of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God bless you. I've not finished. Can I continue? Okay, we're going to come next week, right? Usually we close 1 o'clock, okay? So I wish you come next week. No man had seen God at any time. Verse 12. Are you with me? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he had given us of his spirit. I think I should just stop here. Okay, let's see verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. In the day of judgment, you know those that we have boldness? Who we have boldness in the day of judgment? Those who will do what is being preached in the church. Those preachers that will do what they preach. They will have boldness in the day of judgment. They will boldly stand before God. They will boldly, you know, when you are sure, they say back home that if your fudu is sure, you tell people, my fudu. But if your fudu is not sure, and you take the risk, you could end your life. I will tell you this story, and I'm going to pray. When we are back home, my wife can remember this story. We're in the house. An armed robber came about 1 o'clock. They came to our street. They came to our area. They went to the house of our neighbor. They started shooting. Pa, 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 pa. And the landlord association, we have this principle. If anything is happening, you have to go out to help others. So I wanted to go out. My wife was begging me, please don't go. Let's just pray. Hey, don't go. I said, listen, I am the secretary of the association. Let me go out and at least help these people. Oh, I said, no, don't go. Let's pray here. Okay. I listened to her. I tell you the truth. Each time I don't listen to my wife, I get in trouble. I'm telling you one secret. When she gives me advice, sometimes as a man, I will do like this. I will come back with the regret. I have done it before. So I listen. So when she said, okay, I pray with her, we stay inside. The armed robbers started shooting. Pa, 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 pa. They were shooting. So they were just hearing noise. They tried to break into that house. Then after, to cut the story short, after everything was done, somebody was left dead. And who was that person? It was after then they told the story, those of the landlord that came out, said that our security guard in the area, he was with some other people. They were standing behind, and he saw one of the armed robbers, sitting on the fence, and was trying to go and shoot him and kill him. I think it's the idea that if you can just kill one of them, they will all run away, right? And then he was going boldly to approach him with this, you know, this gun we call the back home shakabula. When you shoot it, boom, then you run somewhere. you kick it on the ground so that you can put more, and then go again, boom, then you run out to run away. You kick it like that. So that was kind of the gun he was having. Not this one that, you know, AK-5 or AK whatever they call it. So they said this man was trying to go and face the armed robber and kill him. And the landlord said, what, you know, he was banking on. He said, if I shoot you, the gun will not get inside. You know, that kind of, you know, he was so bold that, yeah, you know, I'm the security guy. When you shoot me, the gun will not penetrate. But this day, he was shot on the head, and the gun penetrated, and he died.
Sometimes we may be so bold of whatever charm we have. But there's something about all this, that's another sermon entirely, all this black, this voodoo and so. They fail sometimes. In fact, they can fail always. And that's why we have to depend on the power of God, because it's not going to fail. It has never failed. It will not fail. Why we depend on all these things, all this, you chop this, chop that, you say this, sometimes you forget, and devil is too sweet. He's an ad master. If you leave any of the rules, it's not going to work. When they tell you, chop it like this, put it like this, put it on the ground, kneel down when you are chopping it, be naked when you are doing this, be there. You just say, hey, I don't need to do that. I just chop them. It's not going to work. Praise God. So, those that will be bold on the day of judgment are those that will listen to his words and they will do all that are written therein. They will be bold at the day of judgment. The Bible says the righteous is bold as lion. So if you obey God's word, if you seek righteousness, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. You will be promoted. God will help you. If you can embrace what I'm saying, family, let's love each other. Life is too short. If you are a husband, you don't love your wife, who else are you going to love? There's no gain in this walking around. Some people, they just like to walk around. What are you gaining in walking around? If you are a man, you don't love your husband, which one did I, or not love your wife? Sorry to say that. If you don't love your wife, what gain will you have in that? Children, if you don't love your parents, what do you gain in being disobedient to your parent? What do you gain? You may not understand now, but later you understand all that your parents are telling you. But please, through love, obey them. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. Sometimes you may not understand what they are saying, but sooner or later you will understand. And then those of us in the church, let's love each other. That will help us to promote the name of God. If we can be out for each other, if we can be there for each other, if we can, help each other. Do you know that Jesus Christ was even talking through love? That if you love me, those who love Jesus Christ, we hate their father, their mother, and then they will follow him. And do you know what that means? It means that if you love God very well, you will show that love to the extent that the people that are in the household of faith, they will be closer to you than even your blood relation. Because you'll be what? There was a time they came to Jesus Christ. He was preaching to some people or talking to them. They came and said, hey, Jesus, your brothers and sisters are waiting for you outside. Rabbi, are you not listening to us? Rabbi, your sisters and brothers are waiting for you. And Jesus said, who are my sisters and my brothers? These ones that are listening to what I'm talking. They are my what? You are my sisters and my brothers. Hello? You are my what? Love me, please. Tell somebody, love your pastor.
Love your pastor.
Amen? Love me. And through love, give me, talk senses to me if I'm going, going astray. And if I love you and say, pastor, love us. Say that. Hey, because I love you, if you do something wrong, I will correct you. Don't run away from me. When I correct you, don't do what? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, bless you this afternoon. We worship you because we're a good God. We thank you for this great time and opportunity we have to seek your word. The commandment that we gave, that we should love.